Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. The name says it all. Happy holidays to everyone, and we hope you enjoy this bonus episode we're bringing you this week. Pat and I chatted with legendary hip-hop rapper Fabulous about the Giants, the Nets, along with the music industry. Talk about the longevity in his rap career, fashion, and much, much more. Make sure you stay tuned and enjoy this bonus episode. Welcome back to All Things Covered. Brian McFadden, Patrick Peterson. Like we promised you guys, you know, right after the intro, we got a special guest. This is a bonus episode right before Christmas. So we're going to deliver the gifts right before Christmas. So make sure you guys pay attention to what's about to happen. This is legendary right here. Number one, you know what I mean? I'm a big fan. Pat P, he a big fan as well. We've been rocking with this dude for a long, long time. One of the more consistent rappers in the game, a legendary hip hop artist, trendsetter, sports fan. You can follow him on social media, My Fabulous Life, on Twitter and Instagram. Like I said, one of the biggest rappers of our generation, you know what I mean? Globally, doing big things, man. Fab, appreciate you joining us here on All Things Covered. Man, we see you right now riding real decent, but, man, how's everything going with you?
Everything good, man. Thank y'all for having me. Like you said, man, you gave me the best. Like, you got to come speak for me everywhere I go, man. I need that introduction that you did right there, man. Like, I don't know, man. I know you come from the field, but like, you know, behind that mic, you really got a career ahead of you with that, man. Like, but thank you, man. It's good to be here.
Hey, man, whatever you need, I'm there.
All right.
Well, your Fab, man, we're going to jump right into it, man. We know your schedule is very hectic, but we know, OBJ was our guest last week, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay.
We heard that you was not very fond when you heard that he was getting drafted away from one of your New York favorite Giants.
Yeah, I didn't like the trade. You know, OBJ is not only the homie, but I also think he's an exciting player. He's a key piece to a team because not just the excitement, but his talent level helps rise. He helps to come be a part of the team because of, you know what he does, but I think he raises the energy of a team as well. You know what I'm saying? And I think for what he does, I think the Giants was the kind of organization franchise that needed that. They needed a uplift. They needed a star player. They needed somebody that was going to take that weight on his shoulders. And you need a star player to take that weight. You know what I mean? They take the good and the bad. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I just felt like, you know, they had that player. They haven't had that player for a while. And when they finally got one of Odell's magnitude, you know, I just felt like they let it go, man. And I was excited about seeing him and Saquon Barkley together on the field.
Yeah.
I was excited about even a new quarterback prospect, but having somebody like Odell to throw the ball at. I don't know, man. You know, I know it's a business. I know it's, you know, you can't get your feelings involved in you know, players and contracts and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes I just felt like they didn't give it a shot to see where it go. I think 1 year at least they could have seen where it could have went. But, you know, I mean, like I said, it's a business and they let them go. But that wouldn't have been my move if I was GM. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. Well, Fab, let's transition to the hardwood. You know, what type of dilemma were you put in as a basketball fan growing up? You know, you were a Knicks fan and then the Nets moved to Brooklyn. You know what I mean? So talk about that dilemma and who you currently root for.
Well, here's how it is. I'm a hometown guy, right? So Brooklyn never had a team. Now, my uncle, longtime Knicks fan, you know, kind of brought me up under his wing and watched Knicks games with him and, you know, but then this guy named Michael Jordan came along, and I was like, I don't know, Unc, you know what I'm saying? I'm feeling this guy, man. And I kind of turned into a Bulls fan just off of Mike. I had never even probably seen a Chicago Bulls game until Mike came over there. Like, you know, his impact on basketball kind of shifted me over. But I still always was a hometown fan because of where I'm from. So if the Knicks is playing somebody else besides the Bulls, I'm going to go for the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? Now we going back to what you said, the Nets come to Brooklyn, and I'm just like, oh, that's really home team. That's really home base. You know what I'm saying? I'm from Brooklyn. So I just had to rock with, and I love what the organization was doing as far as, like, tapping in with Brooklyn, like tapping in with people who were from there, tapping in with the community. They gave a lot of you know, feedback and even financial benefits to, you know, the businesses that were around the stadium. They hired a lot of Brooklyn people there. I would see, like, friends and family, people I knew throughout the neighborhood, you know, throughout Brooklyn, who were working now in the Barclays. So I just like, as an organization, what they came in and did, you know.
Yeah.
So you think the personality of KD and Kyrie can get the, and possibly James Harden is what we hear, can work?
I think so, man. It's going to be interesting too, because they got Steve Nash over there coaching. You know, Steve Nash is a point guard, come from a point guard background. I think he could be some help to gelling a coach relationship with Kyrie. I think we've seen Kyrie in a couple of different situations where I don't think he was really in tune with the coaching, you know what I'm saying? And I think maybe Steve Nash is going to be part of his job to gel that situation over there, you know what I'm saying? I think KD is going to come in there and do what he does. What I'll say, I think he's going to come in there and be KD, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's one of the players that you can't even put a finger on KD, because he's so well-rounded in what he could do, you know what I'm saying, and bring to a team. So I just think he's going to be him, and the Brooklyn Nets is going to benefit for that. But I'm interested to see that Kyrie and Steve Nash relationship.
So Fab, tell me this though, you know, most player coaches don't have like a good outing whenever most players that transition into coaching, that's good player, that was great players in the league, that transition into coaching don't normally have a good outing. So how do you think this Steve Nash hire could be different?
I don't know. I heard about that, man. That's kind of weird for me, because I thought it would be the opposite way. I thought, you know, a coach coming in who used to be a player would, you know, could see things from a player's, you know, point of view.
Yeah.
Could understand how players feel on and off the court. You know, it was a similar situation like in music when Jay-Z became president at Def Jam. It was back and forth because people was like, you know, I don't know about the president being an artist, or, you know what I'm saying? Where, you know, kind of I looked at it as a situation where I was signed to Def Jam and I was like, well, you know, we got somebody who come from the same walk of life as we came from. So I was actually, you know, kind of excited to see where it was going to go. I couldn't say if it was going to be good or bad, but I wanted to see, once you put an artist in that situation, what it would do. So that's why I said I'm excited about the Nash and Kyrie situation, because, you know, they both was very good point guards, very much team leaders. And I wanted to see how that coach to player relationship is going to go. Like you said, sometimes it doesn't work out, but I don't want to go by the past. I'm going to treat every experience, every situation with the two people that's in it versus, you know, somebody else's situation.
But no doubt, let's talk about your career, Fab. Let's talk about the music, yes. Right? Now, regardless if it's sports or music, you know, every successful individual, they have that breakout moment where they knew things would never be the same. Mm-hmm. For you musically, what was that breakout moment? Because I remember when you jumped into the game, you weren't known as Fabulous. You were known as Sport Fab,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was Fabulous Sport.
Because of the polo.
My nickname in my neighborhood sport. Was Sport. You know what I'm saying? And
Because you rocked the polo gear,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, from Polo Sport. And
yeah.
Fabulous came about because kind of like an accident. I said I was the Fabulous Vocabulist in my rap or something. And I think Clue thought I was saying my name was Fabulous, but it ended up sticking. And long story short, like, it became a name that, you know, nobody else had or dared to use, or, you know, it just was different. And I think in that space where I didn't really have like a complete rap name and just was rapping with my neighborhood nickname, which I didn't think had a great ring for hip hop or for a hip hop name. It kind of just fell in my lap and I just ran with it. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's just worked for me to this day.
Oh man, that's dope. Hey, so at what point, cause obviously Fabulous, it, like you said, it stick with you. And me and Matt, we was talking about this earlier in our episode, we was talking about fashion. And, you know, I'm a guy, I like fashion, I like other, I observe off IG or whatever, but I recognize you got a very, very, very high, fashion tolerance.
Boy, I got a lot of heat. He got a lot of heat, Pat.
He got some bangers.
He got some heat.
So what really got, and I know you from New York, obviously one of the new, the fashion capitals, but what really got you into fashion? Like, what really caught your eye about it?
I want to say it started from shoes, to be honest. I feel like it started from sneakers and then it worked my way up. Throughout the 90s, there was so much style in hip hop and I fell in love with the culture of hip hop. And if you look back or think back, you know, it was so much diversity in the fashion of hip hop at that time. We, of course, it was very baggy, but it was, you know, even down to the black designers, from the Karl Kanaj to the Cross Colors to all of those things, that it was just so much diversity and so much, you know, something new or something fresh or a good look or a good vibe that you never really seen before. It wasn't about doing what somebody else was doing. And I think that originality is what kind of like tapped into me about fashion, about, you know, having your own style and your style or your look speaking for you before you even open your mouth. You know what I'm saying? And I think
no question.
That's where it connected with me at. And, you know, we come from humble beginnings too. So, you know, when you have on a good outfit or you have on a good pair of shoes too, you know, it raised your level of confidence or it make you feel good about where you're going. You know, even when you was going to school, you know, if you had them new Jordans on, like you felt a different way going to school. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't wait to get there. You know what I'm saying? It was a good day that day.
Hey, I was ready to approach any girl that I saw in the hallway when my
girl was putting together. Y'all gotta see me. I'm hanging out in the hallway a little bit later. I'm chilling. My foot is up in the chair. You know what I mean? It's a different whole swag when you got your thing on. That's why I think that's what tapped into me, man. And I never really did it for, you know, everybody's, you know, opinion or accolade or compliments. It was just more like how it made me feel. You know what I'm saying? It raised my feelings and my emotions to the level that I felt like, you know, I was the man. I was the guy. You know what I'm saying? And that's where I took it from. You know what I'm saying? And it ended up running parallel for me too with what I was doing as an artist. When I became an artist, that's another thing too. When they hear your music, you know, they might hear at that time too. It wasn't as visual as, you know, social media and stuff. So when they might hear your music and didn't see you yet. So now you've been listening to somebody and you like, you almost imagining them, but you want to see what this person looked like, what they styles like, what they, you know, how they rock their clothes, how they, you know, what's their haircut, all of those things come about with your style. You know what I'm saying? I recognized that early, you know what I'm saying? And it ran parallel with my, you know, my career.
Well, I'm going to tell you this much, Fab. Keep doing what you're doing because real recognize real. And me and Pat P, we believe in the fashion as well. But, man, you're the top guy right now. Hey, I got to get – if I had a ball cap on, I'd tip it to you in tribute. Yeah. But I don't got one on, but you're the top guy right now. So keep doing what you're doing, man. Hey, keep doing what you're doing, man.
Yeah, hey, is there any collabos, though?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, what I've been tapping into, you know, especially this year, 2020, is I've been trying to tap in and not to down no high end designers and all that, but I've been really trying to tap into a lot of the, young black designers, young black lines. You know what I mean? They always send me stuff. I always represent it. I always try to use my platform to show, you know, I get a lot of stuff from everywhere, but you know, I especially enjoy when the young black designers tap in, you know what I'm saying? Because I felt like for a long time too, we were like kept out of that lane. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's, and I don't even like to project that, you know, just the high end brands is the only cool or it's the only way to be fly. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of talent out here, man. It's a lot of guys who are coming up with, really, really dope stuff. And, you know, I like to tap in with that. So most of my collab work or anything that I'm working with in the past, you know, 6 months to a year, it's been pretty much in that direction. You know what I'm saying? I still work with a lot of guys, of course, and a lot of other brands that are, you know, big time brands, but you know, they already big time to me. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, some it's guys who need a hand or even like you said, came up on my music.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. That's why you're successful, because you show a lot of love, you know, to a lot of people that are trying to get to the same level you currently at. There's no hating involved. You know what I mean? So, hey man, keep doing what you're doing, man. When the ball drop, you already know what time it is, but when you look at the pandemic and the current situation that we all involved in, how has the pandemic affected the music industry?
I mean, it's affected it greatly. I think even overall, this music that we rocked to, you know, this year, but I think, you know, if clubs was open or people was more social and active, there's certain songs that would have been way bigger than they are at this point. You know what I mean? There's a lot of artists who might have been way bigger as well, you know, if they could get out and do shows, if they could, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's really shrunk the industry a little bit, but at the same time, everything has its gift and its curse. And I think, you know, people had to use that time to perfect their craft, to build their social media, build different ways for people to get into their music. You know what I mean? If you can't do shows, you have to find another way, it's taught people how to be hustlers too within the music industry. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times people was sitting back and just letting whatever the bag come to them. Now you got to get out there and get the bag too. So, you know, like I said, it's a gift and a curse in it. But I think, you know, for the most part, a lot of people learned a lot more about themselves and about really how to navigate through music by not being so having so much to do and having to run around or travel and, you know what I mean, all of those things. So it's definitely affected the music industry greatly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I will say, going through this pandemic, one of my favorite things to watch is definitely the Versus battle.
Yes, sir.
Mm. Talking about the Versus battle, how do you think you and Jadakiss battle turned out?
I think it was dope, man. Kiss was my brother. Well, I think people underestimate too is how much of a legend that Kiss is in that regard. And like, I'm a fan of Kiss. Like, I know people put us like in the same, you know, same class. You know, I came up listening to Kiss. You know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah. Kiss is like my brother. So it was never like, it's not the same situation maybe with like, you know, Jeezy and Gucci or, you know, anybody else. You know, Kiss is somebody that I have a high level of respect for. We've worked together. We've traveled together. You know, we've done even things that on and off camera together. You know, we have a great relationship. So it was always about us just celebrating each other, having a good time. So I was, you know, pleased with the outcome. It was, you know, I know the barbershop talking. I know everybody placed their bets you know, figure who they voting for. And you know what I mean? I know how that goes. And that's a part of it. You know what I mean? That's a part of the whole engine of Versus. But for us, you know, it was about us just having a great time.
No question. It's a celebration.
Yeah, showcasing the catalogs. You know what I mean? It was great, man. Like I said, I love being on the same stage with Kiss. This is somebody that before I was even in the game, I was sitting on a block listening to Kiss. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's an honor all the way around.
Well, hopefully Fab, you and Kiss can get together again, because that last Freddie and Jason album was on point.
Oh, man.
We got to lock in for that again, too.
Yes. Yeah, make sure, man, y'all keep providing the streets.
Hey, and one of my favorite content. Though is that soul.
The first one. The first one. I like number one.
You like three?
I like three.
I like
the,
one,
with,
Pat.
With the Martin outro.
Jada. I had to put that on there, man. I wanted to take it back to that feeling of, you know, sometimes skits used to like bring the whole feeling together to a joint. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I think on that joint, I used the Gina joint and I used the joint from Baby Boy, I think. Too.
Baby Boy,
you know what I'm saying? So like this, those scenes, I think the song was called Situationships. Yeah. And those two people, those two relationships is like strong relationships in our black culture. And I think would tap in and people will understand and get it. You know what I'm saying? And I think, you know, I think sometimes a skit is a lost art in the albums, because, you know, every classic album you could think of had like, you know, a skit where you know what I'm saying? Where it just brought everything together. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Man, hey, that Soul Take One got me, man. That Mo Brooklyn, Mo Harlem got me. Whenever I listen to that, bro, I'm from the South, but it makes me feel like I should be from New York. Anytime I hear that Mo Brooklyn, Mo Harlem.
That vibe, the vibe of the music and everything, it just feel like, you know, like you ride through the city. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No
it
question.
Like, you know what I mean?
I need my triple fat goose on. I need some Tim's. Yeah. I need me a beanie. You feel me? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick before we get to superlatives of the show, last question for you. We talked about the versus battle. They all have been spectacular. I've enjoyed every one. I mean, so shout out to Swiss and Timlin for breaking that up. But what would be your dream battle to watch as a fan when it comes to versus?
Oh, probably
Dre versus Puff.
Ooh.
Just because of those two catalogs. Or even though I don't even know if this is the right battle. Two of my favorites in the game would be, I think, Hole versus Drake.
Man, I said that, man. I said
and
that.
I put that
based on the volume of music that both of them is. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're two different complete artists, of course. Two different eras.
Right.
But when you're talking about guys that got them joints that speak to you, that connect
forever
to the masses, you know, those are two guys that got it. You know what I'm saying?
That's heavy. No question. No question. So we're going to transition.
But I don't think you could do either one of those two matchups. I don't think you could do 20 joints. You get,
no.
You got to get them. You got to get them focused.
By 30.
They got
50 bag.
And, hey, I'll be there for everyone too. I'm not even leaving my seat.
No doubt about it.
I got to make sure I don't drink any water before they start because I can't afford to have any bathroom breaks.
Yeah. It's too many. It's too many records, man. They can't go 20. Like, I would be mad if it were 2020. I'd be like, nah, y'all left. Because there's so many records that's going to get left off. You're going to be like, nah, man. They got to do another round or something.
No doubt. So we're going to hit you with these superlatives, Fab. Clearly, you know, you can handle pressure. So we want your honest, legit answer, right?
Okay.
First question for you. You're from Brooklyn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn probably has the most iconic rappers ever.
Mm-hmm.
Your Mount Rushmore of Brooklyn rappers.
Big Daddy Kane.
Mm-hmm. Smooth Operator.
Notorious B.I.G.
Yep.
Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
that's what I don't have an issue with that. Who will be the first one on the outside looking in? You still got some other names that you can throw out there. You got female, you got Foxy, you got Lil Kim.
I would have to put Kim. Kim is arguably one of the most impactful female rappers to ever hit the game.
Yeah.
Just because of how the way she changed the game as far as fashion and, you know, being the crew girl. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's not a lot of, before her and after her, there's not a lot of people to, you know, there's comparisons, but Lil Kim, I think definitely, like, even if I took any person off of that Mount Rushmore, I would have to put Kim there because of her impact, what she brought to the game.
Dang, I'm not mad at you. I like that.
Your best song that's suited for a sports stadium.
Oh, man. For a sports stadium or arena. I want to answer this one for Fab, but I want to hear what he's going to say, Pat, because I know what the best song would be if I had to pick.
I'm going to go Breathe.
Breathe. I knew he was going to hit that Breathe. That's what I was going to say.
I'm going to go Breathe. I think the energy is something about it. The beat. It's you know, I've heard a few of my songs in different sports arenas, but I always feel like Breathe is something about it that connects to it. It's not a sports, you know, it doesn't reference sports in any way, but it just has that energy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's a feeling.
Fab, you know what I thought you was going to say?
Which one was you going to say?
B-O-M-B-S. Back on my bull.
Oh, yeah. Bombs is.
Yes, Bombs.
Bombs is like, that's, you know, like, again, I had to do that record because I was a Bulls fan in that time. You know what I mean? I remember that intro being like almost like a hip hop song to me. Like, it was something that I looked forward to hearing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was crazy.
Man, listen, man, you came with that heat with that one. All right. So I got one for you. When you look at your career, you know what I mean? The lyrics that you have spit, you know, they're everlasting in my opinion. But you found a way to incorporate sports into your lyrics as well. So I want to hear what's your best sports lyric, but I want to read some of your lyrics off to you. All right.
Okay.
So the first one, they tried to put two nines on me just like Gretzky, but my lawyer saw through it just like wet tees. All right. I got another one for you. If she for everybody, don't you let her claim up on you. Now listen, you gave up on me. I came up on you, took my talent somewhere else. LeBron James up on you. I was Kyrie with the rock, the crack gang number two. That's special. Hey, Pat, that boy got something, don't he?
Yeah, you got something.
It made me feel like I was a rapper just then. That boy got something. So look, what's your best sports lyric?
Man, it's so many, bro. Like I'm a natural sports fan. If I wasn't somewhere, you know, a lot of times if it's you know, Sunday brunch, I gotta have a TV there so I can watch football on Sunday, or you know, anything that I'm doing, I'm always incorporating hip hop and sports in it. So when you say which exact line,
give us some. I know you got some.
I'm going to start from having two nines on me like Sat from the Bucks to I did a whole Kobe. I would have to say the whole Kobe, the
Black
whole
Mamba
Kobe
freestyle
joint I did, man. Yeah, the Mamba joint, that the Mamba freestyle, all the references in there, all of the, you know, Kobe was after Jordan, that he became my favorite player, and like when he retired, I just had to like pay homage, because you know his strength on and off the court is what helped give me confidence in what I do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
no doubt.
You know, I've made so many sports references, but you know, the Kobe freestyle was something that I just felt like I had to do because of my connection to his career. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt. No doubt, man. It's Fab, man. We definitely appreciate you for your time. But before we let you go, you know, is there anything you want to pub? I know you got the merchandise. You know, I know you're doing a lot. You got the record label. But is there anything you want to pub when it comes to the merchandise? Where can we get it? Where can we come out and support you? You do a great job in supporting others, but we want to make sure that our fans and our viewers and listeners do the same thing, especially being able to support you. So, you know, fill us in on what you got.
Man, of course, the merch is live. The company's called Blood Sticker. You can always check it online at bloodsticker.com or on Instagram at Blood Sticker. We got new artists coming this year. One to definitely look out for is my boy Josh K out of Chicago. He just dropped a project called Lover's Lane Act 2. And I'm working on some new stuff too, man. I just had a good conference call with Def Jam, so I'm going to be out there in a minute too. So I just use 2020 to really gear up for 2021, man, and it's going to be a big year coming.
So 2021, you dropping a new project? That's what you're telling us here?
I'm dropping a few projects.
There we are.
I can't wait.
We can't wait. We're going to be patiently, me and Pat P, we're going to be patiently waiting. One thing I can say, though, Fab, man, your music is bumping in a lot of locker rooms, bro, not just football-wise, but NBA everywhere. People show you support, especially people down in South Florida. Because like I said, man, we from the South, so we rock and roll with you.
Nah, I appreciate you, man. And the South been supporting me just as much as New York. Every time I go down, I feel the love. I feel, you know, the Southern hospitality when I'm there. I always get a lot of love everywhere I go, man. And I appreciate y'all, too, for having me on All Things Covered and just checking in. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all have done y'all thing. I've seen, you know, I checked in on the podcast when they told me about it. I said, yo, these guys is, you know, they do their work, man. They about their work. So I'm happy to be here and fucking with y'all, man.
Man, appreciate it, man. You be safe, man.
All right, love.
Happy holidays, right, champ.
Happy holidays, G.
Thanks again to Fabulous, and thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure you subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back again on Tuesday, where you can expect all things to be covered. Peace.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk. No. You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.